like to welcome everyone to Wiggum Baptist Church this morning. We have a few announcements, so if I forget any one of them, y'all just shout out. The Traveling Light Bible Study by Max Licato, times have changed. Now, please, lesson 16 will be tonight, but at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And then 17 and 18 will be this Wednesday night. We'll start at 6, so prayer meeting, church will start at 6:30, so we can complete those two sessions, 17 and 18, and that will conclude the Bible study. So please be here at 6:30, 6 o'clock tonight, 6:30 Wednesday night, so we can finish that up. Tonight, after the evening worship, a thank you party for Brother David. Bring finger foods. Don't forget tomorrow, Memorial Day, breakfast for the community buggy ride participants. If you'd like to help, be here at 8 a.m. June the 4th, Brother Tim and Amy will be here. He'll be starting then, that's Sunday morning. After evening worship service, a pantry shower for Pastor Tim and Amy. Bring finger foods and also items for their house for the pastoral that they may be able to use. Don't forget June the 18th is Father's Day. Vacation Bible School starts then also June the 18th through the 22nd. No choir practice tonight. We will resume next Sunday afternoon on choir practice. Do have an announcement from El Bethel Baptist Church. Their Vacation Bible School starts June the 4th. The 4th through the 8th from 6 p.m. to 8:30. Meals will be served daily. Classes for kids through adults. So please remember El Bethel in your prayers. And also if anyone's interested or have children or know anyone that would be able to attend their Vacation Bible School, is June 4th through 8th. The title of it is Stomp, Chomp, and Roar. Uh-huh. Okay. Sounds interesting to me. Anything about dinosaurs, and that's what it is. So please remember them. Any other announcements? If not, we've been asked to remember Randy Baggett. That's Heather's brother. He's not doing well. He lives in Tampa. We've also been asked to remember him. We'll add him to our prayer list on Wednesday nights also. But remember him in our prayers. Let's open with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We're just thankful for the opportunity to gather here and worship our Lord Jesus Christ today, Lord. We want to lift Brother David up to you as he brings the message today, Lord. And Lord, we just want to pray for all the activities and all the things that are going on, Lord, with the church here. We just pray, Lord, that you'll continue to guide us and direct us and lead us, Lord, as we end a phase with Brother David, Lord, but we move into a time with Brother Tim and Amy as Brother Tim comes to lead your church here in Wiggum, Lord. We just want to lift him up to you and pray for him today also. Lord, we do just want to pray for Randy today, Lord, and just pray that you'll be with him and comfort him, Lord, and that your will be done in his life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Here.
All right. You know, it might be a little confusing next week when we start. We're going to have two Tims in the church, so I've already addressed one as Tim L and the other one as Tim D. So. It's all right with me if you use that. I guess Tim doesn't matter.
My middle name's Douglas, so I'm Tim D.
Tim D? Yeah, hey, it falls right in. I knew there was a reason for that. I didn't know.
Would you just go by Douglas?
Tim Douglas. Douglas. Tim D. Maybe we ought to just call, hey, Tim Douglas.
You just confused everybody.
Anyway, that's good. Good stuff. Anybody have a birthday this past week or today that we can sing happy birthday? No, my wife didn't have a birthday today.
You said it's going to wait for this week.
Hey, Sissy, we did that for you, didn't we?
I told you not to.
Let's sing happy birthday to my wife, Shauna. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And y'all keep her in the prayers because she needs it. Oh, keeping me straight. Anyway, one of my favorite short hymns in the Bible, Majesty. Majesty. I love this song. Please stand and let's smile and sing real loud as we worship our Lord. Majesty. Stand up. We need to shine in this darkness. All right. 493, Onward Christian Soul.
Marching as to war, in the cause of Jesus, going.
487? 487, if you're looking in the hymnals. We'll sing all four verses, and on the last verse, please stand for all.
Is that wrong?
Okay, that's, which one is it?
485.
485. The music's different on 487. So we know the course on 485. Okay. All four verses stand. Sissy played that beautiful hymn. few weeks ago, Brother David said, you know, I just love Amazing Grace, and My Chains Are Gone, the song. Chris Tomlin, I believe, is the one that last did that song. It's one of our favorites also. So this morning, we're going to do that song, and we're going to ask everyone to help us on the last, at the end of the song. I'll tell you, y'all come in and help us sing real loud. So, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
My chains are gone. Thank you, Harold and Shauna. I appreciate that very much. I think it's a very meaningful song to all of us, and very grateful for that. My notebook's upside down. I couldn't read it. Today we celebrate Memorial Day, and I guess technically our nation does tomorrow. But it thrilled me to drive up to the church today. When you turn the corner up here at the cafe, you can see the flag at the fire station. And you can also see the flag at the First Baptist Church. Then you come a little further and you see our decorations, and it makes me proud of who I am and thankful for what God has done for us. Memorial Day is different for us than Veterans Day, that today we celebrate all of those who gave their all, who gave their life in all the wars for our country. And I'm very thankful for that. Do we have any veterans, though, here today? If you are, raise your hand.
Yeah.
Okay. A couple of thank you guys. Because service to our country and to our God are very significant in our lives. And that's sort of the serious part, but I also have to tell you some jokes today. Okay? Nobody said stop, Tim. First of all, I did have some people ask me if I would give an update on last week's message. I use that term instead of sermon. Because last week's message, on my way over here to Wiggum every week, I pass three Dollar Generals. Just to keep y'all updated. I'm headed to Port St. Joe tomorrow afternoon, and I promise that I will let you know how many are between here and there. We are going to play the game because I'm going to have three grands. One trip's age, a three-year-old. He'll be in the car. Carter, an eight-year-old, will be in the car, and so will Avery. I don't know if Walter will understand it, but he'll have fun, I know. So you pray for us as we go and enjoy a few days. I'll be back Wednesday night, don't worry, just a couple of days. And one for Harold. I grew up, I'm not as legalistic as I used to be, Harold, but growing up, there was a minister of music that told me I just couldn't sit down when we sang Standing on the Promises and You're Sitting on the Premises. And so, but I will sit because of my knee and my back. So thank you. I do believe that song very much and appreciate the sentiment in the part of it. And then sort of lastly, I don't want to say my final sermon because that sounds sort of ending, doesn't it? And I may come back and preach, you never know. Somebody might have a birthday, or somebody might need to go on vacation after being here for a while. And that'd be okay. It's sort of like, to me, like going to the airport. I got upset because my son and I were going through the Atlanta airport, and I was dragging this dead pig behind me and trying to keep up with him. And all of a sudden I look up and says, terminal. And I said, I'm not going there. And so you have to be sure what words mean. And in these past few months, it has been my prayer that I'm able, or have been able, to share with you words that you needed to hear, you needed to know and what God says about them. Because words are how we communicate. My wife has been a librarian for the last 20 years, but a teacher for the last 30. And she's impressed on me how important reading is for our children and for us as adults. But she's also impressed on me how important our communication is to one another and as to individuals. These are exciting times in our church. The world is changing though, and as I reflect on the last year or so, I'm reminded of the unexpected changes we all saw in 2020, 2021, 2022, what they brought us and what they haven't. It's been different. You know, my life has had many unexpected changes, and I'm sure yours has also. All of these things have come about. Since 1999, I've been in the position a number of times like this, where I've seen pastors come and go, where I have preached sermons for churches that have lost their pastor, and for churches who have pastors coming. And so this is not an unusual position, but it's one that I take very seriously because we're on, I've been waiting to use this word for a whole year. I just couldn't figure out, but we're on the precipice of a great time. Don't y'all like that word? To me, I can't spell it, but I love to say it. We are standing on the edge, folks. And that's because what is in front of us is possible. What we have done last year, we can't do anything about it. What the pandemic was, we can't do anything about it. But we can adjust to it and live with it and learn from it. And that's what's important. And that's what this has done for us. I believe this committee at Wiggum has had a good cross-section of our congregation, amen, both in age and background and membership and community involvement. They have blended together to seek God's leadership. And I just want to raise the flag, literally today, to Sissy Ulmer and Larry McDonald, and Matthew McBroom and Susan Maxwell and Cassie Latmore. I applaud them today and for the future. They think they finished, but they haven't. I told them, They are the pastor's best friend because they got to know him first, and they are going to help him be the best pastor he can be for our church. But let's applaud them. And they didn't get there by themselves, but they were your lead team, and I thank them for the work they did. I think they felt like when I came that they were in a hole. But guess what? They came out of it. And I think that was their time to work through and find what God needed. Even though we're a small community, our lives have changed. And our community has grown. It has different people coming and going, and you're not all living right here in Wiggum. We live in all kinds of places. But there's one thing that has not changed, and that is the call to share God's saving message of Christ to this community and to the uttermost parts of the world. God sent his son so that we could have a relationship with him, the creator of this universe. We need not live our lives in isolation, but we've got to be involved in our community And I think that's what our business with our closet of hope, and our business with our missionaries, and our business with our families, that's what it's about. That's what our prayer list is for. Thank you for those who have worked so hard to keep that up and involved. The Bible says that we're all ministers because we're all called to walk alongside. One fancy word is a Greek word that means a lot when you think about it, and that word is paraclete. And paraclete means to walk alongside. And the word is used in Scripture by Jesus to tell us that that's what the Holy Spirit does. He walks alongside us. And I just think that tells us a lot. The Bible speaks specifically, though, about the minister. We are all ministers, but our pastor. First of all, this may be a little tongue-in-cheek here, but we'll see. First of all, a pastor teaches and preaches. He heals without pills or knife. He's a social worker, an editor, an entertainer, and he must also be a scholar. He visits the sick, he marries people, he buries the dead and consoles those who are sorrow, and tries to stay sweet when chided for not doing his duty. He plans programs, he appoints committees and spends time keeping people out of each other's hair, while also preparing and preaching a couple of sermons a week for those who don't happen to have any other engagements to attend. He conducts a weekly prayer service for those who show, runs errands, and helps pick up around the church for exercise. Then on Monday morning, someone at the coffee shop remarks, "What a job, only one day a week." You'll get that now. People expect the pastor to have the grace of a swan, the friendliness of a sparrow, the strength of an eagle, and the night hours of an owl. Well, maybe some of those are tongue-in-cheek, but you get your point. We ask our pastor to do a lot. And that's another reason why we have to come alongside of him. The Bible lays out actual qualifications, and I want you to see that. It tickles me because I think it's a little ironic, but guess where they come from? 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Let's take a look at these verses. You got those? Yeah. The saying is sure. If anyone aspires to the office of bishop, and we understand this to mean the pastor here, he desires a noble task. Now, a bishop must be above reproach, a husband of one wife, temperate, sensible, dignified, hospitable, and apt to teach. No drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and no lover of money. He must manage his own household well, keeping his children submissive and respectful in every way. For if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how can he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may be puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, or he may fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. As I mentioned before, a lot of things have changed this past year. Can you imagine how all this change in the world has affected our pastors and staff? We have never had to have church by ourselves over the internet, over television, in our cars, away from people. The pastoral image and the pastoral concept of working and dealing with people has never been in this kind of a situation. For me, I've had a life verse, is what I call it. It came about because of a minister that I saw on a choir tour when I was a teenager, about 17, shared a New Testament with me and talked to me about witnessing. And that life verse is this one, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Now, I also have a translation that I use, and that is, He will make your paths straight. And I use that one for my own mindset because as I go back, I remember my teacher saying, the shortest distance between A and B, two places, is a straight line. And I want to get there when I need to. Our Pastor Search Committee has relied on the truth from God's Word. They've been praying and seeking and searching for the person that can lead this congregation, sometimes from a wilderness of the past to a future ministry, though, of what I see as compassion and growth and connection to Jesus Christ. And so it's important. Where each person believes, so much so, and the priest is a believer, and they have a personal relationship with God. That's what the church is about. I believe that they have come together as believers with that common goal. They can see that bright future. That's what kept them going, knowing that we're moving forward. In John 20, 29, Jesus said this, because you have seen me, you have believed. And those who believe without seeing are blessed. That's where we are. Jesus' disciples could talk to him. But verse 31 says this, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. And that's what the scripture is. That's what I've preached. That's what all of your pastors have. Ever since our dear old brother 155 years ago used the Bible just like mine. God's word stands. Jesus came so that we could see and believe. Now, y'all may find this odd, but this is my disclaimer. Just a few weeks ago, I used a scripture from John 21 at our 155th anniversary. It applies so well today that I've just got to use it again to make my point, and I think you'll see. Remember, after the crucifixion, the disciples were scared. They were nervous and confused and didn't know what to do next. And maybe that's where we are. David's fixing to leave. Well, are we going to like this guy better? Of course you will. Are we going to do anything? Of course you will. But the issue is this. We look at it just as many of you would in a similar situation. They turned around to things that were comfortable. And if I could say anything to you, is it's okay to be comfortable, but don't do that. Be a little uncomfortable. Try something different. I've given you some different ideas, some different ways to look at ministry, and you've responded to those, and you've taught me things that I didn't know, and it has made us better. Okay, that's what I see. This was their trade. They felt safe. They were not afraid to do what they did. So here's verse 4. This is from 21. Yes, when daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not know it was Jesus. He said, friends, Jesus called them. Now, this translation is really neat. Let's see if this is the same one here. Yeah. Jesus called them, you don't have any fish, do you? That was his question. He knew they didn't have any fish. And he was chuckling. No, they answered, He looks at him and says, cast the net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. And so they did, and they were unable to haul it all in because of a large number of fish. The disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. Well, we know what Peter did. He pulled his jacket off, jumped in the water, and started to see Jesus. Here's what was going on. This was it. Jesus was testing their faith. He knew they were capable fishermen. He knew that. He wanted to know if they were willing to listen. When they pulled the net in, wow, it was a full net of fish. And they knew immediately it was Jesus on the shore. It didn't take them any time to figure that out. The next question we ask ourselves is, do we trust Jesus enough to guide us and sustain us or supply everything we need? Here we go. Look at verse 9. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there and fish lying on it and bread. Bring me some of the fish you just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Do you remember me saying that a couple of weeks ago? That's significant because Jesus said, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. Now, I preached a whole lot longer on that, and I'm going to preach a little longer today. But now remember this. This is after the resurrection. The crowds are gone. So who did this? Jesus did it himself. He made the fire. He cooked the breakfast. He made the bread. As Max Lucado said in Traveling Light in Psalm 23, he prepares a table before me. And that just stuck. I said, that's it. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to come back and we have Jesus is preparing the table before us. Maybe at this point I'm spiritualizing a bit. But have we become so complacent that we only have a certain person, a certain culture, a certain socioeconomic group that we're willing to listen to? Who are we inviting and bringing to God's table? I think you're open. I don't think you have that. I'm not going to call that a problem. I'm going to call that a challenge. Because ever since I've been here, you have been open to people and reaching and talking. And we do. We come to church by that fancy word, affinity. We come to church because we like the people we sit with. We talk to the folks we know. We come to church because we feel at home. And I don't think I've seen anybody in this building that didn't feel like they were welcome. That's a freebie for you. Even though there were many fish, the net was not broken. And as we look to our future as a church, we have to realize there's always room for one more. Always room. Or one more. All right. A little bit of humor so you can hear what I'm saying. This is what you'll remember. The committee did a lot. They worked a while. They talked a while. They stopped a long while. But throughout the process, I was wondering what was going on too. So I did a little bit of snooping on my own, and I've got some of the candidates that they talked to, and I want to share those with you briefly. First, they talked to a guy named Solomon. But he has a reputation for wisdom, but he fails to practice what he preaches. There's a guy named Hosea. His family life is a shamble. He's divorced and remarried a prostitute. So they said no. Jeremiah, he is too emotional. He's an alarmist, and some say a real pain in the neck, and he's also single. Amos, well, he comes from a farming background. They said he might as well just be better off picking figs. John, he says he's a Baptist, but he lacks tact and dresses like he lives in the wilderness and eats wild honey. Paul, we found him a little too harsh, and his appearance is contemptible, and he preaches too long. They did talk to another guy named Timothy. He has potential, but he was too young for this position. And then they talked to a guy named Jesus. He was incredible. They liked him. But he tends to offend church members with his preaching, especially the Bible scholars. He's also a little controversial. And I understand that he even bothered the search committee when he pointed questions about the church and other activities or programs at them. So, who's number 10 on the list? Well, he's the one the committee agreed on unanimously, and I can assure you of this, that he isn't perfect, but that they are confident that he is the man that God has chosen to lead our church through this ever-changing world. Well, of course, we know now that it's Brother Tim Dudding and his wife Amy. I believe the church has found the man that God desires to lead us here at our church called Wigan Baptist Church. So what can you do to prepare for the new pastor? It's actually quite simple. I'm going, golly, that was good. 10 minutes till 12. I had a problem in my mind. I wasn't going to be able to do this and stay on the track. 6 points, and no, I didn't give these to Shauna. But if you'd like to have these, I think it may be worthwhile for me to print them off and bring them to you tonight. First of all, build his spiritual power by praying for him and his family. Secondly, build his reputation by speaking well of him in the community. Thirdly, build his morale by encouraging him in ministry. Build his leadership by cooperating with him. Number 5, build his pulpit power by hearing him. Nobody likes to preach to empty pews. And number 6, the greatest thing we can do is to follow the Christ that he preaches about and embody that spirit in our own lives. And like my wife says, I say too much sometimes. It is what it is. But it is because this is where we came to. I'm going to go ahead and say this now so I don't get emotional later, but I've had a wonderful time. I've had a very enjoyable experience getting to know each and every one of you. And today, I think I could almost say everybody's name. But I'm not going to do that because I'm not going to embarrass myself or you. But I'm grateful that you have listened to me, and that hopefully you've learned from me and share what I have learned from you. Harold says I'm family, so if he says it, I'm going to believe it. And I will be back. I didn't know y'all were going to. I think I'm the one who brought up food tonight. I didn't mean to do that. But maybe I'm just a good reminder. We're going to eat tonight after we have church. Darlene said she'd come. I think we're washing clothes all afternoon, but that's okay too. But I'll see y'all back at 6 o'clock, and we will and we'll enjoy Max Ducato. He's got a good one tonight. Let's pray, and then we're going to just close. Okay? Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, for all you have done in my life and in the life of our congregation. And Lord, I pray that you will just continue to lead us gently in your Spirit, as you have done. I thank you, Lord, that you have loved us so much that you care to come and live with us. And so I ask you, Father, to help those who really just didn't feel like being here today because maybe the pain was too bad or maybe their life wasn't where they wanted it to be. But Father, I know that you brought us here because we can love and care for one another. And so I pray today in Jesus' name that you will lead us in all we do. Amen. You are dismissed.